Let's just pray. Father, thank you that you are a holy God. And that you're a consuming fire. And we pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, you'll burn a fire in our hearts tonight. Lord, that so there's no lukewarm stuff anymore, complacency, but only your desire burning deep inside of us. Lord, we want to be living sacrifices for you. And tonight, Lord, we decide to put ourselves on the altar so that you can come and consume us and that you can be glorified. And Lord, tonight, thank you that all vanity and all worldliness and all things of this world will fade away. But we know that your word remains. And tonight we submit to your word. We thank you that your word is like a sword that cuts between soul and spirit. And Lord, we are a generation of people that don't know the difference between our soul and spirit anymore. But we pray tonight, Lord, that you'll penetrate our hearts with your word. That you wash away everything, Lord, that so only your glory will remain. Lord, we are here for your name. We are here, Lord, for your truth. We are here, Lord, because we want to serve you. Take our lives and glorify yourself tonight. Because we are hungry for you, God. And we are thirsty for your righteousness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you bring the fullness of Christ tonight in a way, Lord, that flesh cannot bring. And Lord, let it be revelation to our lives. Lord, thank you that every voice is quiet now and every distraction is gone for your fullness to manifest in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk about living a life of consecration or the power of consecration. And it's something that I realized just like 2 weeks ago that that's something that has just sort of come normally for me. But I realized that for many people, it doesn't come normally anymore. It's not, especially for the generation, lots of us living today, we IT generations and we Facebook and we lots of stuff. People live much more open lives and they sort of, we've lost an ability to know God in for who he is. And because we sort of almost become familiar with him. We almost like say, yes, Lord, you're my surf buddy. Yes, you're the dude up there. You're this cool dude. And we love to talk about the love of God. And that's so important. That's God's motivation why I do stuff is because he just loves us. Point. He just loves us. But the fact that he loves us does not change his character or who he is. And I remember when I got saved at school a couple of years ago, just a few years ago. Next year, I'm 21 years old. Can you believe it? Okay, in Jesus. And so why did some of you say like you didn't believe me? There's like an unbelieving crowd over there. Okay, I'm only joking. So very simply, I remember the teacher that led me to the Lord. The one thing that he sort of made sure I understood was the fact that God is holy and that I should not mess with the things of God. And sort of we as a group, even just in grade 10, we would you know, understand and seek and hunger after God. And I remember many times, you know, for us, it wasn't like, you know, we didn't complain about standing outside in the rain or, you know, having church services for 5 or 6 hours, you know, because it just didn't matter because we wanted God, you know. And so after we got spirit-filled, about 240 kids got saved in Paul Boisei, and we just sort of, we didn't care, you know. We just thought like, Lord, the end of the world is coming tomorrow, and we better finish the job. You know, lots of zeal and lots of passion, and I remember many times as The teacher would even, I was in a race called Imhof, and in the evenings till 12 o'clock, we would like six or seven of us, we'd make turns to look out of the window on the second floor because the teacher would come and stand at the bottom outside and it would just rain. He would be soaking wet. And then we'd like hang on to the bars there and all this stuff. Like, that's not alcohol bars, the window frames and panes or whatever you call it, that security bars stuff, you know. And so we're hanging out there and we're just like, and he would just share the word of God with us and he would just talk about how God is holy and how God is a consuming fire. And then we'd all go like, oh, you know, like the lion inside of us, whoa, you know. And then he'd talk about these wild stories of spiritual stuff and so, you know, and then as we started to walk this road with him, a road of discipleship, we were 14 guys, you know, the devil really came to take us out sometimes, you know, and then we'd sit there and we'd just like know the word of God and we'd like memorize scripture and we'll just like say, yes, God, we want to see your kingdom come, but one thing we live for is for your glory. And so that's something that was sort of like embedded into a culture of just seeking God and being hungry for him. And yet today we live in a generation, and especially in the charismatic church, where we have a big sin, and that sin is sort of to try and bring God down to our level. We try to make God human. We try to say to God, God, you come and you fit into my little picture, and then when I understand you, then I'm going to serve you. When I bring you down to this place, you know, and I'm going to tell you some couple of scary stories, because this ability to live a consecrated life, a yieldedness to God, is so important. And some of us need to change our lifestyles because there's so much of culture in the church. So much of the world has crept into the church that we've lost the power of God. We've lost the ability to see God's miracles happen. Why? Because we don't have a consecrated life and we don't create consecrated moments so that when God comes, we will not all be killed. Okay, so in a sense, God wants to release his miracles. I know that. That's his heart. He wants to heal people and deliver people. But you know what? God has to hold back because he'll destroy all of us because of unconsecrated, undevoted lives. Because we're like, hey, buddy, let's be cool together today. I'll decide who's God, yeah. Ooh, it's getting very quiet in this place. But I know tonight lives are going to change, yeah, because your lifestyle must change. You know, we can't take a cultural Jesus. And that's what, when this teacher that I came to on the 4th of April, 1989, when I committed my life to Christ, you know what was my words? I went down on my knees and I said to him, Mr. Smith, do you know what? The Jesus that you serve and the Jesus that I'm serving is not the same Jesus. The Jesus that I serve is one of my own making. But the Jesus that you serve is the real, awesome, huge God that doesn't fit into my frame of reference. He's humongous, I said. That's Moses 4, verse 13. Humongous. Okay. That's why we get these words, chona machantas. It's actually tongues. Okay. When you just know God is big, you say chona machantas. Because it's not words. That's okay. But in any case, some of you are going to get that a little bit later. So there's a group of people in the book of Corinthians in Corinth that Paul writes to, and they're fighting about what should they eat and what should they not eat, and they try to get into the law. And then Paul writes here to them, and this is where we're starting tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. He sort of throws it in here in the middle. He says, and we need to get very deep here tonight because you're not going to understand all these words unless you go into the original Greek and the Hebrew. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That word all is so important that you understand the original root word of all. In the Greek, it means all. It just means everything in the Chinese. Okay? Everything. He says, your studies, your work, the way you drive your car. But then, let's just wait for conviction to come. Because some people go like this. everything you do. Now, what we try to do is many people fall in this trap and say, no, on Sunday night we're going to be spiritual in church. Scripture says everything you do for the glory of God. See, the moment when we move out of this place where we're not yet, that we realize I'm here to glorify God. God is not here to glorify me. God is not here to make me a happy being. I'm here to serve Him. I'm here to glorify Him. And whatever I do, whether I sit there in front of my study books, let's wait for the conviction to come again. I know some people here. I saw them at the back. That they plan for 4 days on how they're going to study. And then they have to rest for 3 days because they've planned so hard on how they should study that by the time the tests come, they're just tired. Because they're tired of 3 days of resting after they've planned for 4 days to study. Because, I don't know, some people work out these exam rosters, like these plans on how they're going to study. It takes them 3 days. By the time they're finished with that, 2 days is already gone. Anybody like that in the house? Their second name is called procrastination, but in any case, so 1 Corinthians 10, it says, do everything. Say to your neighbor, everything to the glory of God. Everything, all, whatever you do. And that's the question. My question to start off with for you is very simply, is what you're doing, does it glorify God at the moment? Does God get glory? Not just through the songs we sing, but through your lifestyle, through everything you do. So, to be able to do this and to be able to live a consecrated life, we must know the power of devotion, to be devoted to. Devoted is to be able to have yourself given to something. And I sort of made up a little bit of a definition. It's not like a deep theological definition, but I just felt like the Holy Spirit said this to me, that I must share this with you. It's a state of the heart in which our whole life is a continual offering to God, a yieldedness of all we are and am to the will and the glory of God. It's a yieldedness, it's a state of our hearts of being devoted to God. Say, God, I'm here for your glory, I'm here to do your will. And it's not a set of rules, it's not a set of regulations, it's simply an ability to yield myself, to surrender myself to something greater and someone greater than myself, which is God, to worship Him. That's what worship is about, is to say, God, maybe we must practice to that. Just do that quickly. 1, 2, 3. Sure, there's sharp people in this place. You've just hurt that person. Just forgive. Okay, cool. Some people just hate the person. Okay, but in any case, so to be devoted to God, it's not a set of rules, because many of you, when you think about what I'm going to share tonight of living a consecrated life, the first thing you're going to think of is discipline. But you're going to miss the whole point, because we start with discipline, but it's much bigger than just living through a set of rules. It's about a surrender. And so, where we have to start with is Matthew 5 verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed, happy to be envied. People will be jealous of you when you are hungry and you're thirsty because you want to please God for God's righteousness. I said it at the beginning that there's so much of the world in the church that the church many times doesn't look any different than the world. This morning, after I preached this sermon, a little 7-year-old boy from Kenya walked up to me, right there. And there were 6 other small little children between the age of 5 and 7. And the boy said to me, I saw a vision this morning. He said he walked into that door at the back before they went to the children's church. And as he was walking, he saw there was a man standing there at the door who had holes in his feet. And he thought, that's quite strange. And then he looked up at his hands and he saw that this man had holes in his hands. And when he looked up, he said, he realized it's Jesus. You see, when the children see God, because of a purity and a hunger in their lives, and you know, all the children were standing there next to them and just saying, yes, it's true. And I'm standing there. I'm thinking, Lord, I want that. Why do we, when we get older, we get more complicated? We try to figure God out. And then we miss Jesus when we walk into the door. Or we're distracted because we come for the nice songs. But Jesus said to them in John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Have you thought about these words? I want you to think just for a moment about these words. He who comes to me shall never hunger and never thirst. My second question for you tonight is, what are you thirsting for? Are you still hungry? Are you still thirsty? Then maybe Jesus is standing at your door tonight and says, I've got holes in my hands. I've got holes in my feet. You will never hunger. You will never thirst. So I remember moving into our house in Onapapagaiberg one day. It was great. It was a great miracle. I don't like to talk about financial stuff, but I have to share this testimony because I remember we just started. I worked as an accountant and just married, Louise and I, and we're just so excited, and we're just like, yeah, you know, and we went to visit some friends, and as we're standing in front of this one house one day, the Holy Spirit asked me, do you want this house? And I was thinking like, Lord, I can't even afford a car, yeah, just married, and there's not a chance. And the Holy Spirit said again, do you want this house? And I'm thinking like, no, okay. But now me with a big mouth, that Wednesday night, there's a lot of young working upper class guys all over the place. And they are pursuing their careers and going on. Well, I've just stepped into the ministry, and it was, you know, I'm not going to mention a lot of things, but those first couple of months was a bit of suffering. And so now God asked me this profound question, and I don't even have enough money for the end of the month on the table, you know, to put food on the table. So God starts asking these weird questions when you're out of your comfort zone. Well, some of you have realized that. God begins to ask you this stuff that you can't do, you know. And then you think like, Lord, this is the wrong question, you know. I'm just praying, Lord, save me, save me. Get me out of this situation. The Lord says, do you want that house? I'm thinking like, hey. You know, so here we stand in front of the house. And that Wednesday evening, I'll never forget it, these group of young working people, they're all moaning about their plans of how to get their houses and how to get their property. And I get irritated. I get frustrated because I'm thinking like, can't you just talk about Jesus? Now you want to talk about property all the time, you know? And so as this conversation's going on, I just remember me with my loud mouth, I just say, do you know what? I'm going to get property before all of you. And that was end of June. I said, beginning of September, I'm moving into my house and you will sit in my living room and we will have a cup of coffee together and we'll have cell together just to prove, seek first the kingdom of God, yeah? I walk out of that small group and I think, you stupid, what did you just say? I still don't know if it was in the flesh or I think it was a bit in the flesh because I was just frustrated, yeah? But standing in front of that house, do you know what? Within a week, that house was already sold, by the way. The guy withdraws the contract. We walk into the house and we sort of like, within a week, somebody gives us $200,000, pays the deposit, goof, gone. 1st of September, we move in and we have a small group in that house. I'm thinking like, okay, now don't clap so quickly. Now, because this is not really the story. The story is only coming. So, now we move in. I am so excited. God gives us this blessing. God does all this stuff, but we have got one little problem. We forget to consecrate. That first evening we move in, it's just boxes. We are so excited about the promises of God and what God has done. At 2 o'clock that morning, I woke up. And I thought, why did my wife leave the front door open? Because there's a dog in our house. And the next moment I hear, there was like these wooden floors. I hear this dog walking down the corridor, the passage, coming to our room. And I'm thinking like, whoa. And the moment when I want to sit up, the next moment, something grabs me right here. That I cannot say the name Jesus. And it's a demon. We had some other visitors in the house. So I'm lying there. Why are you laughing? It wasn't funny that moment. So I am scared out of my wits, you know. Because now I realized there was a Chinese auntie living before us in that house. And she did all of her little smoky bombies, Saturday nights, skin the cat or whatever she did with the cat, you know. But I don't know. Because there were lots of cats apparently running in the neighborhood. But in any case, so I got the shock of my life because here this thing presses me and I can't breathe. And now suddenly I can't even mention the name of Jesus. And after about 20 minutes of almost dying, I get the name of Jesus out and this thing disappears. 3 o'clock that morning, we take oil. Sunflower oil, every oil you get. I get oil out of my ears, everything that you can. I just anoint everything. We walk up and down, warfare up and down. And you know what? How this works with so many Christians that God gives us a blessing, but we never learn to consecrate it to Him. God does a breakthrough and then the devil comes to steal it, or the devil comes to jump on you, or the devil comes to... And then we get offended. Because if you don't live a consecrated life and you don't consecrate this, even the things that you have to God, that thing will become an idol. And that's why I just, this morning as I was praying, I just felt God said that so many people get offended in the church. Why? Because of the root of idolatry. They make idols even of the things of God and the blessings of God. And it's never been intended. It's there to bring you to a place of worship. So there's this big word called sanctification. That was all part of the introduction. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1 to 4. Finally then, brethren, this is sort of the last word to the church in Thessalonica. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. So God calls us to a life of sanctification. It's a process. It's not just an event, but a life of renewal in our minds, in our bodies, in our spirits, so that we can bring glory to Him. But because we don't start off to live consecrated lives, what we do is, yes, we have a little quiet time here, and yes, we have a little event there, but we don't live these lives coming from a hunger and a thirst for His presence, where we just say, Lord, whatever I do, let it bring glory to your name. God, whatever I do, my marriage, the way I treat my children, the way I live, the way I walk, the way I drive, everything, God, I don't want to be a good person. Because you say there's no good person on the face of the earth. I want to be a godly person that lives in holiness and has a lifestyle of glorifying God. Can somebody say amen? Thank you for your enthusiasm over there. Okay, so sanctification firstly means that we need to live a lifestyle of separation to God. It says here, it's the process of a lifetime that of making the sinner righteous in life and in character. And that's what the root word holiness, the word of holiness means, to be separate, to be different. God calls us not to conform to the patterns of this world. You can't try to be like the world if you're going to mix yourself. And I'm not saying now, let's start a monastery up there, because the sinners are going to contaminate us. Oh, there's a virus in the place. There's some sinners. No, but when the light shines and there's darkness, the darkness always flees. Because light overpowers darkness. Light is not afraid of darkness. But there are too many charismatic Christians. Oh, here comes the darkness. Run, forest, run. You know? Then we run into the forest instead of into the light. You know? Get to the place where we say, God. You know? So, to live a separate life, this process of a lifetime, we need to understand that God is holy. Now, if you forget all the other things that I'm saying tonight, this is the most important moment. Because to put a definition to God's holiness, what we think is we are here as humans, and that means because God is holy, it means He's just bigger and greater than us. The moment when you try to do that, you miss God's holiness completely. God's holiness means a couple of things, and I'm just throwing the words on you. It means He's transcendent. He's above everything. He is unique. He is righteous. And He's not like us at all. He is not a human being. So trying to bring this God down to your level will not work. Because He cannot fit into your mold. He cannot fit into my mold. Because there's a spiritual world that is so much bigger than us. And at the moment, there's a war going on for your mind and for your life. I said it this morning, but you know what? The devil is here to kill, to steal, and destroy. He's not here to sit on a little table and tell you, oh, you're a nice Christian. Oh, you're so nice. Just be good. He's out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so when we begin to see how big this God is, there's some other words. It says He's distinct. He's authentic. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent, meaning He's all-knowing. He's everywhere at the same time. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. He's perfect. He's flawless. He's free. He's boundless. It's called the otherness of God. And so God invites you and me to come into His holiness and to see His holiness, and you're going to be scared out of your life. It's called the fear of God. Because the moment when you begin to see how big He is and how different He is, then your first reaction, as we read in Revelations, is every reaction in Scripture of somebody that saw God, the first reaction wasn't like, oh, let's go and do a holy lie. It's like, I'm dead. When you open your eyes, you think, are you in heaven or are you in hell? You said, this is, clean this carpet a little bit. Okay. So, to be holy means to be separate. It means to cut something from the rest. It means to be sacred. And we've lost the sacredness. Some of you, if they've gone to India, and some of you, if they've gone to other countries, you begin to realize what it means to pray over your food. So it doesn't just become a little prayer that you pray at home. Lord, bless the food. Dankie Here vir die kos en maak ons opreg dankbaar daarvoor. I'm going to smack somebody if they praise that prayer again. Lord, thank You for the food, and please make us thankful. You don't want the Lord to make you thankful. You are thankful. So once you've been to India and you've realized that this food is going to come and visit you in 300 different ways later, if you don't pray a blessing over it, you begin to realize the power of consecrating that food. But you know, as Christians, we just walk in and we walk. I must tell you this, because last week I spoke to a lady about this principle of consecrating her life. And she says, you know what? I've paid a big price, because you don't understand. She said about 2 years ago, no, more than 2 years, 2.5 years ago, she won a little ticket for a massage, a free massage at a massage parlor. Can you remember? It was in PE somewhere. And she shared the testimony. She said, as she was lying there and this person was massaging her, just going for a normal massage, this funny music was playing over the speakers. And she thought, well, something's weird. Something just doesn't feel nice. But so she called the people there. She said to the person, yeah, would you just please, can you change the music? And the lady said, no, we can't change the music. There are many customers here and they all like the music. It sort of fits in with the vibe. And so she forgets about it. She goes on, goes home. Within a week, she strikes a depression. And for 2 years, she's got an intense depression on her life that she cannot get rid of. And then finally she realized, but I must obviously start praying. Where did this thing happen? What happened here that I've got this? Because I don't struggle with depression. Then the Lord said to her, thank you that you're asking. They're at the massage parlor. They placed a curse on you. You can ask the interns. We watched a clip the other day of what Satanists do. They go to the pub, and then they watch out for Christians that had two drinks. They walk into the pub, and then they say, can I speak to you? And if you had a little bit of too much alcohol, they walk into your life, and they start to place curses on your life. Right there, they say, Christians are sitting targets because they haven't got a clue how the spiritual world many times works. Because they love to play church. Bless me, I'm happy. I want a husband and a wife. Da 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 da. But in any case, that's good. So. I hope I didn't offend you for that. But. So. So, people. We need to wake up. Scripture says, be sober, be vigilant. Wakey, wakey. There's a spiritual war going on. And it's going on for your soul. It's going on for your family. It's going on for the people around you. But you know what? We drift into this world and we just like conform to this world because it's just so nice. And the devil just like walks all over us because we're not focused. That doesn't mean tense. There's a difference between focused and being tense. Because some people walk around like, oh, where's the devil? Oh. And that's fear motivation. We're not fear motivated, but we are focused on what the Holy Spirit is doing because we understand God is bigger. God is always at work. God is doing things. But we're not playing a game. It's not about do I feel loved or do I don't feel loved? Because so many people get offended in churches like this because we tell them, yes, God loves you, but we never talk about His holiness and the fact that He's a consuming fire. But that's why I'm talking to you about it tonight. So that you don't get set up with offense. And tomorrow you run to another church and you get offended there and then you run to another church. Why? Because nobody ever tell you if you come to church, you're going to change. God is even going to set up people in your life that is going to frustrate you. And you're going to need to learn forgiveness. And you're going to need to suffer under them. And they're not going to be even perfect leaders. But you know what? It's all there so that you can understand the fire. We love the first part. John the Baptist saying about Jesus, Jesus, that man, I'm not worthy even to loosen his sandal straps because he's the one that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. But that's not all that he said. He said, and he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And fire. You see, if I have a silver ring, apparently the only, and you must correct me if I'm wrong, somebody may be staying jewelry. I just heard it that if you have a silver ring and you want to know whether this thing is pure, you put it in the fire. When you form this ring and you heat up the fire. And the moment when you know that this thing is pure, is when you can see your own reflection in it. God says, I will purify you like silver and gold, because I want my reflection. I want my glory to shine through your life. Are you willing to become a vessel of honor, a vessel of gold, or a vessel of straw and hay and rubble? So living a lifestyle of holiness means that we become Christ-like. We live according to the word of God. The only thing that will remain in your life is the word of God. It's eternal. And that is the thing that as you read scripture, as you walk in scripture, it will cut between soul and spirit. And then the last thing that I want to focus on is a separation by the Holy Spirit. You see, if we just talk about discipline, if we just talk about rules and regulations, you're going to miss it, because many of us come out of a culture of trying harder, self-help, psych myself up, yes, confident. But to be able to live a holy life, you need to be broken. And you need to say, God, I can't do it, because I've come around to this cycle so many times. I'm going to show you a little clip before we share this last thought of a lady that has been involved in prostitution, and she's been a porn star for many years. And because Christians and people don't stand up for the truth, and the world is so in our lives and all over it, there are many people suffering because we don't stand up for the truth. And we don't live a holy lives. Many other people are suffering because of this. And so Mark Driscoll shares a little bit on just this whole thing of idolatry. And then this little clip. Just 3 minutes. Hang on.
And what he's saying is, if you worship the creation instead of the creator, you will find yourself being sexually consumed with sinful passions. Because there's nothing more beautiful that God made than the human body. There's nothing more pleasurable that God has given us than the human body. And if you worship created things, you will find yourself becoming perverted. And make no mistake, every time you see an image, lust in your heart, go surfing on the internet, you're worshiping. You're not worshiping the creator. You're worshiping the created. And it's idolatry. And the issue goes deeper than just sexual orientation or preference. It goes down to the root issue of idolatry. That you can't simultaneously worship Jesus Christ, the creator God, and be into porn. You can't. You can't worship the creator while worshiping the created. It's one or the other. So for some of you, your problem is not just behavioral. It's not that you just need to change the way you act. You need to alter the God you worship. When we had spoken on the phone a while back, you talked about one boyfriend who was particularly dangerous. And he was in the industry as well. Mm-hmm. And some of the relationships then seems like they got even more, potentially even deadly.
We dated for 3.5 years. So he was the one I worked with. He was very abusive. He told me every day he was going to put me 6 feet in the ground. He was going to kill me. He raped me all the time. He was addicted to pornography. He watched it all the time. He watched it at night. I would wake up and he would be down the hallway looking at it. I would open the door and like scream at him, and it didn't, you know, I still didn't like it, even though I was in it.
How many years were you with him, or how long?
3.5 years.
And in an average week, as things got worse, how often do you think you were raped?
It was always like that.
Every day?
I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to. He's like, come on, come on. And then I would just give up. And then, you know, and then I would be like, cry afterwards. And And the thing was, he knew I wasn't on birth control pills, and I would tell him in the midst of it, but he kept getting me pregnant. And so I had multiple abortions, and I don't even know how many.
As a dad, it's really hard to hear. Yeah. So I'm really sorry. But I appreciate your honesty and your bravery, because I think sometimes people think, oh, she's beautiful, she's in a mansion, she's smiling. That's not reality. Porn.
That's not the reality. You see, when the devil steals our worship and steals the voice of the believers taking a stand, this is what is happening in our world. And we can have all the excuses and say, yes, God, I just want to first fix me, all that stuff. But there comes a place where you begin to say, God, more than ever in our world, we need your holiness. We need you to raise a standard. And Lord, start in my life. You see, I heard a saying from Bill Johnson, and he said, what if you tell the pedophile ach no man, just go just once more? What if you tell a pedophile, it's okay, just once more? What if we tell somebody trapped in pornography, it's okay, just once more? You see, if we understand God's holiness, we begin to stand. And first, it's a spiritual war. It's not about running out there with our placards, but it's about people taking a stand for the truth. And his name is Jesus Christ. So Galatians 5 verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you begin to yield to the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't help us to talk about sanctification, we talk about all this stuff, but there's not a yieldedness where you say, okay, God, I realize that the whole world system, I'm entrapped in a culture of idolatry and of worship, but God, it doesn't help me to try and fight those things. Holy Spirit, lead me. Lord, I want to know your fullness. God, I realize that even inside of me, in my life, there's a massive battle because my flesh is... don't worship God. My spirit says, yes, worship God. And everything inside of me, I don't, you know, this battle of what I want to do, I don't do it because I realize there's even inside of me, there's a conflict. And that's why we yield to the Holy Spirit. Say, okay, Lord, help. Start to help right here. Start to help in my mind. Start to help in my spirit, Lord, that I begin to discern where you move and what you do, because I need to walk in the Spirit. I need to follow you. There's movement. There's an ability to discern what God is doing so that you're not running away from the devil all the time or all the sinful world, but you come to a place where you say, okay, God, your glory. I want nothing else. I'm hungry for you. I'm thirsty. Lord, teach me what it means to walk in the Spirit. Some of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit many months ago, many years ago, but there's just been no change. You don't operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You haven't got a clue. Learn. Walk. Start crawling. Say, God, I'm desperate. Because I realize I can't go around in the wilderness anymore. I don't want to stay there. Do you know the big problem with Moses is Moses struck that rock again. Well, God says to him, Moses, speak to the rock. And because of his frustration, what he did is he struck the rock again. God says, sorry. Sorry, Moses, I love you. But to understand my holiness and to be a separate people, I can't take you as a leader into the promised land. Because when we get to Jericho, I'm going to tell you to walk around that city for a couple of times, and it's going to freak you out because it's not going to fit into your mold. Walk around a city with walls this thick, and then at the last time you shout, keep quiet. So God has to raise up a Joshua. He says, okay, God, I'm not always going to know what, but all I know is, Lord, I'm not going to strike that rock. I'm not going to get frustrated. I'm not going to try to beat against the world. All I'm going to say is yes for the kingdom of God. And some of us in this place tonight, we're at a crossroad. Because when you keep on, and some of you think like, oh, yeah, he's talking about sin. Yes, I'm talking about sin because God hates sin. Because sin destroys your life. Sin destroys my life. Pornography will destroy you. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your relationships. Flirting with those guys or flirting with those girls and just going on kissing and doing all that stuff as if it's not going to have no consequences. Sleeping around, doing all that stuff. Oh, he's just talking about sin. No, do you know what? God hates sin because of what it does to us. It kills your conscience, kills your ability to be a seven-year-old to recognize Jesus when you come in the door. Because it makes you focus on self. It's self-worship. That's what sin is. Self-worship. Missing the mark, missing the place of glorifying God. And some of us are at that crossroad tonight, and we need to make a decision. Are you going to be holy? Are you going to live a holy life? Are you going to be in the midst of the world, and when you study and when you walk, you become a worshiper? And you say, God, this life is a consecrated life. Some of you, I'm going to be very serious with you. Those other seriouses called series. You know that the average Christian in America, evangelical Christian, spends 3 minutes per day in prayer. 3 minutes. Well, I think now it's already around about 4 hours per day watching television. Who's your God? America is in trouble. You see, because we can talk about that stuff, but if your girlfriend is going to tell you, if you tell your girlfriend, let's make it the other way around. If you tell your girlfriend, I'm so in love with you. And this week we're going to spend 5 quality minutes together. You and me. 5 full minutes of total focus. I'm not going to have the cell phone around. I'm not going to think about touches or any stuff like that. Just you and me. 5 minutes this week. Go drop him. The only problem is, why do we do it with God? This is not about hours and hours of just taking your Bible and reading your Bible because you're so frantic that God's going to hit you over the head if you don't spend more time. It's about every minute of the day living a devoted, consecrated life so that when you walk out here tonight, you say, Holy Spirit, you're with me. I'm always attentive of who you are and where you move and what you want to do. It's not just about a 10 minutes quiet time in the morning. It's about a devoted life. A holy lifestyle, a lifestyle of worship. And tonight we're going to partake of bread and wine. And we're going to start here. We're going to ask the Lord to help us to become a holy people, to become a group of people that will begin to discern the life of God. Because we're at war. We cannot play games anymore. when it comes especially to your relationships. I'm going to say to some guys, stop messing around. I'm going to say to some girls, stop giving your body to guys that will disrespect you and they'll abuse you. You're worth more than that. Stop running around for love that they can't even give you. Only God can. Some guys here, step out of that nonsense. Cycles in your life. Break it over your life. Because the one guy said to me, I can't believe that you say masturbation is wrong. I said to him, okay. Will you come and do it here on stage where everybody else watches? Because why can we do stuff in secret and say it's right, but we can't do stuff in public? Come on, let's be logical. Because whatever is in secret, Scripture says, will be shouted from the rooftops one day. One day there's going to be a massive big screen like that one, and the whole world is going to stand there, and God is going to call you to come to the front, and you're going to stand in front of that screen, and everybody's going to look, and your whole life will play in front of the whole world so that everybody will see every motivation of your heart and everything that you've ever done, thought, dreamt, imagined, stole, take, worshipped. There's going to be no secrets. And that's why I have to put it under the blood of Jesus. Because either that day you're going to be ashamed or you're going to be glorified. And God is going to like, whoops, there's going to be like this stuff in the screen. You know, it's going to blur out. And people can say, well, what has just happened then? And it's just going to say, blood of Jesus covered, blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have whole chapters covered there by the blood of Jesus. I don't know. Anybody else that's going to join my movie, okay? So God called you to a lifestyle of holiness because we're at war. A lifestyle of consecrating yourself to God and say, God, I want to be a worshiper. But Lord, I can't try anymore. I can't be in my wilderness. I can't go around the same circle over and over again. And then pretend that everything is all right. And then say, yeah, let's just imagine that everything is all right. Because do you know what? There are lots of sinners sitting in this room tonight. There's one next to you. And the only difference, don't look so intently to the one next to you. Yeah, I told you. There was a guy, I always get confused whether it was Charles Finney or Smith Wigglesworth or John G. Lake, but one of the three, okay? I read their biography many years ago, and one of those moments that challenged my life, where's the bread and the wine people? Are they coming? Okay. They said, I read in the story of his life that one day he was called to have an appointment with the Queen of England. And so the appointment was 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And so what happened is the Queen came a bit late. And she arrived at round about 12:45. I want everybody to listen. Don't focus on them. Listen quickly to the story I'm telling, because you're going to miss it. So the Queen arrived at round about 12:45. She came into the room, and they were all sitting in Buckingham Palace, and having this great feast. This is like the moment that the Christian guy can speak about God and have an open platform to speak into the Queen's life. And so she came in, and 10 minutes later, he stood up. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth. He stood up. He said, sorry, everybody, I need to go. And everybody went like, oh. This guy, after 10 minutes, leaves the most powerful person on the face of the earth that can destroy him after 10 minutes. And then as he was walking out, they said, what are you doing? And he said, every day, for many years, at 1 o'clock, I've got an appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I will not miss that for one person on the face of the earth. See, why do we do things like that to God when we tell Him, God, you're not important? God, I'm going to continue in my lifestyle. God, you actually didn't make room for my deliverance. It's very disrespectful. And that's why the Holy Spirit is here tonight, so that when we take that bread and when we take that wine, we say to God, God, tonight we want to be a covenant people. Tonight we want to say yes to your glory and to your holiness in our lives. Tonight we want you to burn inside of our hearts, Lord, a fire, a consuming fire, that the only one we want to please in this life is you. And Lord, tonight we're saying no to a lot of things. But more than that, we're saying yes to your glory. We're saying yes to walk in the Spirit. We say yes, Lord, to your kingdom coming. And some of you must come and learn what that means. Some of you must come to the Freedom Weekend next weekend and just say to God, God, I actually need freedom here. Just come and worship God. Some of you need to come to the School of the Supernatural the next weekend and say, okay, I need to be trained. I need to know how does these gifts things work. Train yourself. Get yourself ready. Say, okay, God, I'm positioning myself because I realize I'm clueless. It's a good place to be. You're going to say that for the rest of your life. Cool. I want us for a moment, as they're dishing out the bread and the wine, I want you just for a moment, just close your eyes. As the band, I want you guys to come up as well. I ask Holy Spirit that right now, Lord, as we prepare our hearts for this communion, as we consecrate our hearts to eat of the bread and to drink of the wine, that you'll come to show us areas in our lives, Lord, that need to conform more to who you are. Tonight, Lord, we want to be a holy generation that want nothing short of living a lifestyle that glorifies you. Tonight, Lord, we put all our excuses aside. Tonight, we put all our offenses aside. Tonight, Lord, we put our idolatry aside. And help us to become worshipers. So I want you for a moment, just as you pray, I want you to pray with somebody next to you while we just wait for them to dish out all the symbols. We're not going to pray for each other. You're going to pray a prayer of consecration to the Holy Spirit. And say to Him, Lord, tonight I'm sitting at the table. And I pray, Lord, that you'll take my heart. I want to be a vessel of honor, a vessel of silver, a vessel of gold. So won't you just pray that prayer when you're ready with somebody next to you. But I want them to hear. And then you respond. You also pray. Don't talk to each other now. Just when you're ready, you pray that prayer. But you're praying to God now. You're saying to Him how important He is in your life. We're starting with the practical tonight. Learning to consecrate our hearts. anybody here that has not received bread or wine, just put up your hand maybe. There's some people there. Anybody, everybody got prayed, everybody got wine, just raise your hand if you haven't received. And the moment when you're ready, then you eat that bread and you say, thank you, Jesus. The moment when you're ready, you drink. But first pray that prayer of consecration. Say, God, I thank you that tonight there's life in the cross. As we're praying, God is healing people, yeah? Physical healings. So that's what covenant is about. So right now, Lord, we just receive your healing, emotional healing, physical healing. Healing from fear, deliverance from anxiety. See yourself as sitting at the table with God tonight. And he's having a conversation with you. He wants you to talk to him and let him talk to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that right now you're breaking hardened hearts. Hearts that have been hardened through sin. Hearts that have been hardened through circumstances. Hearts that are trapped, Lord, in this world. Imprisoned, Lord. Thank you tonight, Lord, that we are on holy ground. Thank you that you receive our worship. On us right now, we're going to stand, but I don't want anybody to talk. I want you just have your eyes closed and just stand as we're going to Just sing a worship song. I want you to let go of the person next to you. If you want to kneel, if you want to sit down, feel free to do that. But I don't want anybody to walk around right now. You see, we need to learn to consecrate ourselves to God. And you can feel the Holy Spirit in the place. Because when you give Him room, He moves. No need to psych Him up. So Lord, tonight come and burn Your holiness in us. So that we'll be a generation that will bring glory to Your name. Won't you just say that, Lord, burn Your holiness in me. I want to bring glory to Your name. You are holy, Lord. You are holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The one who was and who is and who is to come. I want us to sing that, Richard.